タラッタッタッタッタララ。タラッタッタッタッタララ。タラッタッタッタッタララ。タタララタラタラタラタタ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Shay.
And I'm Sam.
And we love women who sew. This is a podcast for makers where they talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in their community.
Caroline and Helen have reached episode 20, and we're here to talk about what it's like to date a sewist and live with an entrepreneur. You'll also find out how much we really know about sewing.
Dun dun dun. Not much.
Hi guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to episode 20. Okay, so we really are excited to chat to our husbands,
partners,
boyfriends, significant others,
hetero life
partners. We're very excited to chat with them, but we have a lot of catch up to get through.
Yes, first. We do. First things first, you guys. Helen and I got some feedback about the levels being a little bit weird.
Well, low, mostly.
Yeah, low and inconsistent. So we looked into it, we did some research, and we figured out how to improve that. So starting with Jessica's episode, which was episode 18, you're going to notice that the episodes are just louder, and they're all going to be the same level moving forward. So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah, and super big thanks to all the people. It wasn't like a ton of people, to the few people who wrote in and told us about that, because it was super helpful, especially one person in particular gave us some good tips and directed us to where we could find out more about that. And so we're very grateful. We want our podcast to be loud enough that you can hear it over your sewing machines.
Okay, that's it for the catch up, but we do have some listener feedback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Lara wrote us a really sweet email, and I wanted to read it to you guys. Hello, Helen and Caroline. I just had to send you both a big email hug thanking you for this week's podcast. I had for so long felt that the patterns in my collection that I hadn't sewn were my dirty little secret, even from other sewists. To hear that you all are at the same percent unsewn as I am was like lifting a 100-pound guilt weight off of me. Between that and considering my fabric stash as a collection, I now consider your podcast my therapy session with two wonderful sewing buddies.
That is so awesome. I mean, we're definitely not qualified therapists, but
do not take this as professional therapy advice, you guys.
But we're pretty happy to keep you company.
Yeah. The other thing that we got a lot of emails about, yeah, after our pattern stash episode,
a few people suggested using Textilia or the Fold line to catalog and organize your patterns. And we did not mention that in the episode. So check those websites out.
Mm-hmm. You can organize all of your patterns on those websites. They're already on there, so you just search for them in their databases and then you can link them to your pattern collections, and it saves you the trouble of having to go and find them all, which is really awesome. So those are excellent resources that we forgot to mention. Definitely go check those out.
And then there's glue sticks.
I can't believe we didn't talk about glue sticks. It didn't even like occur to us because neither of us glue our patterns together, but I do know that it's really popular to do that, and we got a lot of comments about this.
Yeah,
we didn't exclude it intentionally. Mm-hmm. We just forgot.
So you can use a glue stick to glue together your PDF patterns, and mm-hmm, apparently it's quicker than taping.
Well, a lot of people also use glue sticks and tape together because you can glue like the length of the page and then just put like a little square of tape in the corner.
Oh, okay. All right, Aaron sent us a message. Hi guys, just wanted to toss out another cutting solution. I have a set of bed risers that I use to make my kitchen table taller when I'm cutting out patterns. The added height really helps to prevent back pain that I get when bending over a regular height table. Hope this helps. Love the podcast. Thanks, Aaron.
I love this tip. I did not think about this, but it's so brilliant. You can buy these little bed risers in lots of different homeware stores or online, and like they're basically just about 4-inch tall little, I don't know, like cylinders that you stick under each leg of your table. So you just kind of lift your table up and kick them under there, and then all of a sudden your table's at a good height for cutting.
Great idea. Sam wrote us an email suggesting rice paper tape as an ironable solution, just in case you want to tape on both sides of your PDF patterns. And presumably washi tape would also work.
Yeah, that's what she was. I think she was using a different brand, but she also suggested washi tape in the email. And definitely do a test with your iron just in case. But if it's rice paper tape, it should work. And I thought that was a really cool tip.
Yeah.
So Flora May commented on our show notes. I'm surprised that the monetary cost of printing supplies didn't come up for PDF patterns. This is the main reason why I prefer paper. Though I love the availability of free patterns online and I love being able to reprint, I find I'm always running out of ink. I can get more patterns on sale than I can print with one cartridge and spend the same. This doesn't include the waste if you scale wrong or the cost of paper and tape.
I completely agree. When I used to have
an inkjet
printer, I would always run out of ink and it was so frustrating.
Yeah, for sure. I had the same experience and I recently switched to a toner printer because I was printing a lot more stuff like now that I'm working printer? From home. Yeah, laser printer. And it prints like a million times faster. It's crazy. It just spits the pages out as opposed to actually having to wait for the head to go across and like distribute the ink on the page. It just spits it right out and it's cheaper per print. For yeah. sure. Yeah. So that's something you might want to consider. And I also always buy my tape in bulk because I'm going through a lot of it. And that does save cost because buying those individual tape rolls can be pricey. But I love this point. It's a really good point to make. So thank you, Flora, for your comment.
Awesome. Sarah sent us an email. I'm a sewist that got so fed up with sticking together PDF patterns that I started a pattern printing company. I have a website where customers upload their copy shop pattern and I print it and post it back to them. As a sewist, I'm very aware of the need for the pattern to be printed at the correct scale. And as I print all the patterns myself, I'm great at spotting any missing pattern pieces or any problems. Printing is priced per pattern and all delivery is free. I'm based in Suffolk.
Sorry, guys.
I'm based in Suffolk in the UK, and my website address is printyourpattern.com. Keep going with the great podcast. Looking forward to listening to more. So we'll put that link in the show notes, you guys, if you want, if anyone in the UK wants to check out Sarah's website.
Mm-hmm. I did check with her, and she doesn't ship internationally yet, but a great resource for all you UK peeps.
All right. Okay, we have our men on the podcast. I think the first thing we should do is have you guys introduce yourselves and tell everybody what you do for a living.
Me or you?
Go.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Shay. I'm Caroline's man. And I'm professional arm candy. She.
Trophy husband.
I'm a trophy husband. No, I'm an animator. I've been doing that for, I don't know, 6 years, 7 years or so. So I make video games and cartoons and movies and stuff.
Cool.
Hi, I'm Sam. I work in IT. I work for a cloud computing consultancy. I've been there for about 2 years. Before that, I was in hospitality for about 10 years. So cooking and managing kitchens and whatnot.
Now he's my personal chef, basically.
Yeah.
Lucky you. I mean, we've heard all about all the eggs and bacon that you make, Helen, in the mornings.
That's true. My life, it does involve a lot of eggs. more than you might expect.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so another thing we thought would be fun is if we talk about how we met as a
and
couple.
How long we've been together.
And how long we've been together.
How long have we been together? We were trying to figure this out the other day.
Yeah.
It's our anniversary next
How
week.
Do you not know?
I lost track.
We've forgotten too.
Yeah, we've forgotten too.
Not like, me.
It's 7 or 8.
I think it's 8.
I think it's 7.
Feels like 10.
In a good way.
No, Helen and I met when I was living in a shared house with 3 other guys, one of whom worked with Helen at Starbucks.
Yeah.
And I was unemployed at the time, and I was playing Call of Duty in my underwear in the living room for 4 weeks straight. And then one day my roommate said, Sam, there are girls coming over. You need to put on pants. And then Helen came over and my whole life changed.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
We played Settlers of Catan and I think she won and it was love at first sight. And then Helen made the move and gave me her phone number. Oh,
100%. I was like, do you think maybe you would want my phone number? So yeah. I was like, yes, please.
She immediately recognized I would never have the guts to ask her.
That's what I love about you, babe.
My fear?
so docile.
That's a sweet story. Shay was also unemployed when we met.
Yes, pay similar origin dates. Stories.
Yeah, so please do tell.
Well, I had just moved to Vancouver for my very first job, or my first animation job. So I had been living in Vancouver for about 6 months. It was new to me, big city, and didn't know how to meet people. So I thought I would try online dating because one of my friends, who he just recently actually got married and had a kid, through online dating. So I thought I'd give it a try. And I was too nervous to talk to anyone. And the only person I had the confidence to send a message to was Caroline. And I had a brief phone call before we met, probably just to make sure I didn't sound like a creepy murderer or something.
It's true.
And yeah, it was right before the Celebration of Lights in Vancouver, and we went up to the fireworks for our first date.
Oh, that's very and, romantic.
Yeah, she must have seen something in me because I was also unemployed, and she stuck it out and still waiting on, you know, the big payoff. But
what's the big payoff that I don't know about?
Oh, I don't know. Getting rich or something. So.
She's taking a life insurance policy out of you.
Yeah, yeah. There's got to be something you get out of it. So you've stuck it out so long.
And we've been together for...
about 6.5 years?
Yeah, 6.5 years.
Feels like an eternity.
Aw, thanks, son.
We're
taking that in the best possible way.
Yeah.
You should.
Well, those are both pretty cute stories,
yeah,
I have to say.
Yeah, super cute.
Yeah.
You guys are sweet.
We, like, started hanging out every day.
Immediately
have not
after
really
we met,
been apart since then.
No, remember like everything changing. Like I remember the exact moment I saw you on the porch of that house. I like walked up the stairs and we shook hands and like introduced each other, and it was like this like switch, like complete switch in my life.
I have.
Oh my
that
god!
On
I'm getting
people.
Like chills. That is the sweetest. Okay, we wrote down some fun things to talk about. We also wrote down some more serious things to talk about. Mm-hmm. So
let's do the fun stuff first.
Let's do the fun stuff. Okay, how much have we sewn for our partners? Me, not enough.
Not a lot.
What has she made you, Shay?
Some pantaloons, some sweat pantaloons for around the house. They're very comfortable and very stylish, but I have worn them so much, and because I'm a giant man child, there are big holes in the ankles. Because
he
backs.
Doesn't pull his cuffs
well,
above his
I mean,
feet.
Can you blame
he leaves them.
You have to like bend over
so
all
there
the
are
way.
Giant holes where his heels have worn through the bottom of the pants above the cuff.
I can, so. You know what? I'm with you on this because when I put on my Hudson pants, I also feel like hard done by that. I have to bend over to pull them over my ankles.
Okay, can I say, like, I have to admit this because I can't say that I'm a selfless sewist. I sewed these for Shay because I was pattern testing the men's Hudson pants for Kelly. So I literally had an obligation to sew a garment for a man.
Not to you, though, Shay.
I'm sorry, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why you have the pants.
It sounds like you need to make him another pair, and maybe the second pair you make him can be more, like, full of love and attention.
Some extra ankle space in the back. Yeah. Or just make them really long so they're, like, footy pajamas.
Yeah,
that would be
that's a good
best.
Idea.
Sam, what have I made for you?
You made me a button-down shirt, the Negroni shirt, and because of my buxom measurements, it didn't really fit.
Sam's a curvy person. Is there a word for
I'm
men?
Very chesty.
He's curvy. Broad. He's broad.
He's strong.
Burly man.
Stocky.
Burly. Burly's a good one.
Burly's good. I did like the, you know what I did? This was a while ago and I did not know how to do adjustments. And so it wouldn't close. So I just like added some fabric to the front, the center front of the shirt before I put the placket on. And then of course, like the collar looked all messed up because it didn't fit on it anymore. So then I just like sort of graded it up. Anyway, it was not good, but he still
get a
wears
picture?
It.
I wear it all the time.
He still wears it all the
it's
time.
It's warm. I like the fabric a lot.
It was a purple and green like plaid flannel.
Oh, nice.
I would have said it's red, but Helen has pointed out that apparently I can't see color.
Most men are partially colorblind. That's why they get so mad at us when we say things like, that's chartreuse. Or...
I actually believe you because there are some colors that with Shay, I'm like, no, no, that's green. And he's like, no, it's blue. And I'm like, ugh.
No, I think like 70% of men are partially colorblind.
Perfect. So you're wrong and I'm right.
I'm a professional artist.
What else has Helen made you?
She made me two pairs of Hudson pants, one of them out of bamboo and one of them out of blue fabric.
Yeah, definitely was blue.
Bamboo.
Some sort of canvas, I think.
No, it was a cotton jersey. Canvas. Sam thinks everything is canvas. Everything's paisley canvas to Sam.
Like what sails are made out of. Yeah, I can't think of anything else. I wear those pants literally every day.
But you also wear something else I made you almost every day.
My bow tie?
What? You never wear that bow tie. No, the dressing robe I made you.
Oh, yeah. She made me a house coat.
Yeah.
Or dressing robe. It's very comfortable. Mm-hmm. It's very light.
Is it also made out of canvas?
I'd say it's made out of like stuffed animal material.
Like a furry, like it terry? Is,
it's a terry. Yes, oh. It's a terry.
Stuffed animal material.
I mean, I guess it is. I think they make stuffed animals out of lots of different stuff.
You also reinforce the crotch of all my jeans.
Oh, I do that. I do that all the time, and I like go over my own reinforcements when they wear out. Yeah. They're so stiff. I don't know how you can wear pants with that much, like, layers upon layers of denim that I've sewn in there.
It's good.
It's security. I mean, right? Feel comfortable and confident.
I do feel more confident. I would much rather wear stiff jeans than ever go shopping for clothes.
Yeah. Sam hates shopping for clothes.
It fixes all the clothes I destroy, which I do destroy. I basically wear them until they like shred off my body and I give them to Helen to fix.
Yeah.
Shay does his own hand sewing.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, you too. He's reinforced his own crotches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I take the pants off first.
So awkward to get under the sewing machine.
I like to live on the edge.
If you guys could pick something for us to sew for you,
what you want?
Anything.
Get your requests in.
I think mine's pretty basic. Some underpants.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, are you like, are you boxers or briefs?
Oh,
either way. The in-between one. You like the
boxer briefs.
Oh, the stretchy boxers.
Yeah, that's what most guys seem to like wearing, hey?
Like, which there is a pattern for. It's there's the thread theory worlds. Pattern. Okay, so you want boxers? Anything else, then?
Maybe some more sweatpants and...
You're being so practical. I thought you would come up with something outlandish.
A cape?
A cape?
I don't know.
But like a business cape.
Yeah, it's got to be work appropriate. So
a work appropriate cape.
Yeah, it's fairly casual at my work, so it could be like a work casual cape.
Oh,
work casual,
smart
cape.
Casual. Okay.
Like casual Friday cape.
Exactly.
Okay. What kind of fabric would you want that cape in?
Stuffed animal fabric. Or canvas.
My regular request from Helen is my canvas. Harem pants.
Yeah, still wants those. Waiting for it to stop, but it hasn't stopped.
Well, apparently, like she's told me that it's meant to be linen, but she knows what I mean when I say canvas.
You want like karate pants, I think.
No, I want like old Indian guy pants. But like a Sikh gentleman.
Sikh men's pants.
Yes.
Okay.
So they're probably made out of like cotton.
But canvas is like thick. Canvas is like... Use that to make like bags. You want to wear that on your body?
Probably wouldn't need so much reinforcement then.
That's true.
And then shirts. I want lots of shirts.
Well, you forgot to mention the shirt that I just made you this weekend.
That's true.
I made him a Fairfield button up.
It's not done, to be fair, but yes.
I promised him I'd finish it before his Christmas party, which is like tomorrow.
It's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that one.
That one I actually got the fit right. I did like 3 muslins.
And if we're working for like offering business capes, I'll get one of them too.
Yeah, you want one of them?
Business casual cape.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mary left us a comment that we thought was hilarious and it led to more hilarity. So I'm going to just read it to you guys. Look what Mary Maid said. Loved this episode. She was talking about Jen Beeman's episode. I think we should all share the weird things our partners ask us to make. Mine is flattering pants for business, but with the amount of pockets as cargo pants.
Yes.
And function. We thought that this was a hilarious, genius idea.
Yeah.
So we asked our listeners on Instagram, what is the weirdest thing you've been asked to make? And we thought we would read some of the funniest ones that we got.
I want you to fix the hole in my pants, but I want it to still be a hole.
I don't even
get that one.
I think it's for like, you know, when you have like a hole in like the knee of your pants and it looks kind of cool. But it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's not what
I was picturing.
No? What were you picturing?
No comment.
A Christmas poncho. Same idea as Clint Eastwood's As a Man with No Name, just Christmas themed.
Man, these are such good ideas. I mean,
yeah.
A pair of knitted boxer shorts. I said no until he said he'd pay me $100, and then I did it. I knit them on a 3-hour plane ride to Texas, and as a bonus, I met a very friendly and fascinated tractor salesman who knit a few stitches on them after I showed him how knitting worked.
That's pretty funny.
Why would you want knitted boxer shorts?
I'm curious now. I think they would be the best for laying around the house in your underpants.
Right.
That would be amazing.
What about like really scratchy wool?
You might have to wear boxers underneath and then put those on.
Okay. Great idea, guys. My mother-in-law brought me an evening dress with a small train, which she had torn by dancing on it in stilettos. Picture lots of holes about the size of a stiletto heel in a sheer mesh fabric. I mean, it was shredded. She wanted me to fix the holes without any kind of visible mending. I was not to darn it, cover it with lace or applique, or shorten the train in any way. I had to explain that I owned a sewing needle, not a magic wand.
True. I think a lot of people can probably relate to this because some of the mending requests that we get are just ridiculous. You're like, no, this is too far gone for mending.
Yeah.
My great uncle wanted me to make him an ascot out of a dress he found at a thrift store. He was about 82 at the time. The fabric was a 70s neon orange paisley polyester that smelled so bad. It reeked of mothballs and moldy basement, and it stank up my entire apartment. I tried everything to get the smell out, and nothing worked, so I ended up telling him it got lost in the mail.
Poor Monica.
This is Monica from camp.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Go, Monica. Taking control of the situation. Okay.
Priest or wizard robes made in red tartan fabric for a secret ritual I wasn't allowed to know about. I made them, but I never got an explanation or a picture.
I can't believe she made them. That's amazing.
She's just like, sure.
A pair of pants with tights attached to the pants.
Why would you want that?
I don't know. Some guys wear tights under their pants.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like long underwear.
Like long johns.
I'm picturing like mesh tights.
On that note, the next one.
A stocking that looks like a pickle.
Go on.
That's it. A stocking that looks like all a pickle.
All right. That's 100% also my new
down.
Yeah.
An adult men's romper.
That's a good one.
Oh,
we have a winner.
Please. With a cape attached.
I want a shark fin on mine.
Isn't it called a romp him?
It is called a romp him.
Do I get
is
points it? For that?
Yeah, it's men's rompers romp are him. Called romp hims.
Yeah. Can we have romper points?
And a romp him.
Not true. Pardon?
Can we have points?
Oh, yeah. Shay's winning, though, right now because of the romp him.
Underdog.
A tailored, modern, unique bathrobe.
How unique?
Yeah, what kind of unique?
Yeah, unique is, you need to describe the unique part.
Like sheer.
Sheer makes it unique. So you can see my special body.
All right, here's another game for you.
Are you ready?
We're going to name some garments, and you guys can describe what you think they are. The first one is dungarees.
I think they're pants.
But what kind of pants?
Like Australian pants?
Pants with pockets in them.
Yeah.
A rare pants pocket.
Okay.
Am I wrong, though?
You guys are both wrong.
Oh.
They're actually not both wrong. Because in North America, dungarees are just jeans. But in Europe and I think Australia, they are overalls.
Oh.
I thought there might be straps.
In the sewing community, they're really referred to as overalls. Overalls,
yeah.
But yeah, they're actually just jeans.
Okay.
Okay, what is a coatigan?
I know what this one is. It's a cardigan coat.
Yeah.
But is that just like a cardigan that closes?
No, it's like a cardigan out of coat fabric. No? Or like a oversized coat-like cardigan?
I feel like it's unfair us being asked these when you guys don't even know.
No, I mean, we know. We know.
Dungarees and jeans.
Caroline made one the other day.
Yeah, exactly. A bomber jacket.
Isn't that like one of those big poofy ones? Big poofy winter jacket.
It's like the Fonz.
It's also got pockets in it.
I mean, you're sort of right. It doesn't usually have padding in it, like a big poofy jacket.
It's has. Like it's oh. like a jacket with a zipper that has knit ribbing around the cuffs
and the collar. It has like the white collar. Puffy.
Or is no that a white different puffy. One? No well, white.
What
puffy.
Keeps you warm in your bomber? The ones that I'm is picturing have like now? the wool or like sheep mm-hmm. sheep down.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. The like white fluffy yeah. collar. Yeah.
Hello, listeners. I would like everyone to know that Caroline is Googling a bomber jacket right now.
I am.
Oh, shame.
A bomber jacket is a short jacket similar to a flight jacket, but with a thick lining, typically of sheepskin. You yeah. guys were both kind of right.
Yeah. Okay. yeah. All right.
What is a play suit?
It's a romper.
What's a romper?
It's shorts attached to your shirt. Mm-hmm. Girls seem okay. to really like them, but they seem very impractical.
They are. A lumber jacket.
I feel like I probably own one. All I'm imagining is a flat red flannel jacket. Chopping wood like my daddy wore.
Yeah.
Pinafore.
Is this like one of those jackets they wear in the Navy with like the epaulettes and the things that come down?
No.
Is it like a tricorn hat?
Not even close.
No.
Okay, does it go on your torso or your legs?
Both.
Both.
Okay, so it's like a big coverall one piece thing with pockets?
He just loves it and wants everything to have pockets.
Well, I mean, I'm adding more detail to my answer, so it's got to count for something.
It does have pockets.
Does it have like individual legs, like pants?
It's like overalls, but with a skirt instead of pants attached.
Oh my God, we're both right. I yes.
What's a mock turtleneck?
Would it be a turtleneck that's less of a turtleneck?
Why, yes. Yeah. Yes, it would be.
Like a short, like a half turtleneck?
Mm-hmm. Or like a loose turtleneck?
No.
No.
Half turtleneck.
Half turtleneck.
You're like, good I don't job, have enough neck hun. For the full turtle.
It's like doesn't going have half the turtle fold. Now.
Yeah, it doesn't it fold just, over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, you guys did really well.
Yeah.
You did great, man.
You guys both did great.
Okay, I want to talk about what it's like living with a sewist and like the hardships that you guys have to endure.
Oh, I've been waiting for this part.
For our creative pleasure. Yeah, Shay, do you have some grievances to air?
No, not really. I mean, I don't have a lot of things and I don't do a lot of things or take up a lot of space. So I'm a pretty self-contained human. So, I mean, there's definitely a few big machines around and, you know, cabinets just filled with fabric and stuff. But it's never really bothered me in any way because I don't go into cabinets or anything. So it's never gotten in my way or done anything.
How many cabinets are filled with stuff in our house?
Say two and then like a closet.
Yeah, kind of.
When I imagine there's some I don't know about.
Yeah, it's above the ceiling tiles.
Yeah, if you think they don't know, you guys, they know. So you're a minimalist, but it doesn't bother you that Caroline has all this stuff.
No.
Stuff
no.
doesn't bother you?
It doesn't bother me. Just want my darling to be happy. Aww. No matter what the cost to me, I will sacrifice everything for her.
Oh my God. Okay.
Wow. Everything.
You sound pretty whipped up.
No, no. It's called love.
So nervous now for what Sam's about to say because I know he has
You've
grievances.
You've just been like waiting. Like,
yeah. Yes. I'm seeing his like diplomatic approach and it's got me rethinking my list.
Yeah, yeah, we gotta go home after this.
Lay it all out there.
There's string everywhere.
It's or thread.
Thread. Like everywhere. Like in the fridge, like on in the bath mat.
Like bath mat's a big one. It just grabs
my
it.
My pillow, in my clothes. On my person, I'll like feel like a hair behind my ear at like 3 o'clock at work. And I'll like pull out like a 7-inch long thread. That's my main one. That's the main like annoyance is just the thread.
I should do a better job of cleaning up the thread, I guess. I could work on that. I do throw it on the floor. We've talked about this. Maybe that's not the best place for it.
Yeah. I don't know. Helen doesn't have a separate studio space. So we have a big, huge table, like an 8-foot by 4-foot table that is always covered in sewing stuff. but that doesn't bother me per se. She's really good about cleaning it off when she knows I want to use it for games or whatever. I'm definitely like losing the war, like shelf by shelf in terms of like storage and what was once mine is now for fabric.
Yeah, it's true. I made him get rid of all of his books. I was like, you're not reading these. We should probably get rid of them so I can put my fabric here.
It's just so like heavy and in the way.
Yeah.
Like you're pretty organized and I'm very tidy and you are receptive to my tidiness usually. So
no, we're pretty good at communicating about what we want as far as like the house to look like. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Sam is much, much cleaner than I am. He's way neater and likes everything to be very tidy.
I've also gotten used to the noise of a sewing machine. Like I've watched a lot of movies and shows and just in my mind, they have the sound of a sewing machine in them. Just like every scene, there's just a sewing machine in the background. Like I got nothing else. You think some other things.
You're always asking me to mend things for you, and then I don't.
Oh, yeah.
He puts them on my table, being like, can you mend this for me? And then it sits there for like 2 weeks, and also like 8 things for myself. And then Sam will be like,
yeah,
can you mend my pants, please? Yeah.
I only have the 2 pairs of pants, and one of them is out of commission. So,
all right. Well, that wasn't too bad.
No, wasn't too bad at all.
For you.
Yeah.
All right.
Feeling pretty good over there.
I would die for you. I would do anything for you, Caroline. Caroline, I love you.
Sam made me a calendar for Christmas last year. He made me a custom calendar with every month was like a different photo from an outfit I'd made for my blog.
Oh, that's
sweet. It was
really
sweet. The weird thing about that is that we've had this calendar in our apartment that's just like pictures of me. Yeah. And people have commented on it.
Yeah.
Like, do you have a calendar of yourself? I'd be like, yeah, it's a very romantic present.
/ I'm a huge narcissist.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of do have to be a narcissist to like blog about yourself all the time, I feel like.
Yeah.
No. It's for me. I get to see you.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
But like, would you do anything for me?
Anything. Like I would for Caroline.
Yeah, not like this guy.
What's it like being my personal photographer? Every photo you see on the blog, pretty much Sam has taken, even my product photos.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know. I have taken a lot of photos and I do not think that I'm a photographer. But like when I look back over like 2 years of photo shoots, it's a lot, a lot, a lot.
You do a great job with it.
I take like 1,000 and she picks the 4 that are good. So.
No, there's lots of good ones to choose from. But I do like having a lot to pick from. It's really nice that there's so many.
Thank you, by the way.
Did it take you guys a while to like figure out, like did Helen have to like direct you and be like, no, I want like this angle or like you're standing too far?
Yeah, how easy is she to work with?
She's pretty easy to work with. Like I think I probably don't direct her enough because I don't think I have a terrible eye. Like I know what she's looking for and I can usually get the shots, but I don't, like I've gotten better I think at like telling her when she's like smiling like an alien or like standing is like, why are you standing like that? It's so weird. So like now I call her out and like, I think it's faster now. Like I think I take less photos and get more of what we need as opposed to at the outset where I was just like randomly taking them and taking them like really fast. So like half of them were blurry because she was moving. We've kind of gotten in a better like rhythm where she'll like pose and then change pose and then change pose. And we have like a cadence that we go with.
He's really good. Like he'll do my full body shots first and then he'll do like knees up if it's like a dress, if it doesn't go below the knee. And then he'll be like, what close-ups do you want? And I'll be like, cuff, collar, back.
How long does this take you guys?
We can usually get them done in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, 15, now, 20 minutes.
But we in the past have gone for like, it's been like an hour. We also like, cause we do them all in our neighborhood. We'll go out for groceries or whatever on the weekend and then, but beforehand, we'll like wander around and find somewhere nice to shoot. Or if we see something when we're walking around, we'll like come back to that spot. Like all the garage doors in East Vancouver are our oyster.
Yeah.
Because you do it in like in the back alleys?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah.
We've done some on busier streets, but it's more awkward. Helen's gotten better at being comfortable posing with people can see her, but I am still super uncomfortable, like standing in the sidewalk, taking photos and stuff. I'm like painfully self-conscious, like all the time. I don't really know how to describe it, but like, I hate standing in the road. I don't like blocking the sidewalk. Like, I think it's 'cause I am a big guy. I'm like super conscious about like being in people's way. That's the hardest part for me, more getting over my anxiety than like actually working with Ellen.
Yeah, we try to find private places to take the photos because it is like awkward for both of us if it's more public. Sam doesn't take as nice pictures if he's uncomfortable because he just wants to get it over with. So it's like well worth the time to find a spot mm-hmm. where we're not intruding on anyone's space. Or he doesn't like to take pictures in front of people's houses because he feels like it's like an invasion of their privacy to have like their windows in the background and stuff.
Well, a few times they've like come out and it's super weird.
They've come out and said, hi, what are you doing? Like, this is so cool.
Get off my lawn. Chat.
No, they're so friendly all the time, but we don't do that anymore. Well, you take lovely photos.
You do. Shay, what's it like being my photographer on the very back few occasions?
Yeah, back in the day before that was abandoned. I mean, I thought it would be going fine, but apparently it wouldn't be. And I think I have some artistic direction I like to go in, and she has a different idea. And I don't know, I'm too tall or not at the right angle or...
I think the thing about Shay is that he does things very differently than I do, at a different pace. We're not the same at all in our work methods or like execution of tasks.
Yeah, and I think design, that sort of thing, a lot of that I think we have pretty big differences with.
Yeah, maybe we would get to like Helen and Sam level if we had like kept at it, but I'm just not patient enough, and I had like a tripod and a
remote
thing. But it's funny like what you were saying with the height difference, because Sam definitely has to like get down on his knees to take my photos. He was like on his knees the whole time.
Oh really?
Like most of the shots I'm on my knees, or we like find a spot where I can like stand below her, like she's like up on a little hill, or I'm like down off the curb or whatever,
to get it at the right angle.
Yeah.
Okay, so we kind of already touched on this, but I think for a lot of our listeners, there's a feeling of guilt around the patterns and the fabric, and we hear about it a lot. And we were wondering, from your guys's perspective, what it's like to sort of watch us hoarding these things or collecting these things and spending our money on these things.
Man, I got no leg to stand on. I am a compulsive spender, and I collect miniatures that are not cheap. So I can hardly like call you out for it, really. At least like the clothes you sew are practical for the most part. My hobbies are in no way practical.
But you love your painting hobby like I love my sewing, so... It's true that we kind of relate on that level.
Like we can both go and sit quietly at our tables and ignore each other for 4 hours and it's fine.
Helen's touched on that before on the podcast. Like you guys both having intense hobbies works really well in your relationship because you can each focus on those things. And also financially, like you can, it's sort of even in the sense that you're like, I'm putting all this money into my hobby and you're putting all this money into your hobby. So we're kind of even. So it's fine. You know, there's no guilt or shame there. Whereas I don't think it's always that even in relationships.
Yeah.
There's no secrets, you know, like my fabric's all on display. You see the new stuff come in all the time.
Yeah. You show it off gleefully and then have me fold it with you.
Oh yeah.
Look, I got 5 meters of denim. Look how long it is.
Shay, what about you?
I don't see a whole lot of new stuff ever coming. I know there's a lot of it around, but I don't see a lot of it coming in. So I imagine it's being just slowly drip fed in.
Well, it helps that I have a fabric shop, so it's not like...
Yeah.
I'm not spending a whole bunch of money on fabric even if I do take some home, like it isn't always associated with a cost.
It's a bit of a different case. But no, just as long as it doesn't become a serious concern or problem, or we're not on the hoarder's show or anything like that. But I think I'll tell you beforehand. Yeah. I just, as a lot of people would probably agree, is you should probably, before buying new stuff, make something with the stuff you have.
Yeah, Shay says that to me a lot.
Because why did you buy the stuff to begin with if you're never going to use it? But
they had a whole episode about this.
I know. That's, yeah.
No, it makes, it's,
I mean, I
get
it.
Very logical to make the stuff with the stuff you have. Okay, do you guys listen to the podcast?
Now and again.
Now and again, so casual.
I'm going to be honest. I'm not a full-fledged every episode listener, but I listen to ones that Caroline highlights and tells me are really funny. And obviously the first one, right when it came out. And yeah. And then I hear it. I practically hear everyone anyway, because she's working on it in our living room. So I'm pretty sure I have technically heard every episode multiple times, but to actively download and listen, it hasn't been every single one, but it's been a few.
Yeah, it's hard to listen to if you're not a soist. Like, I've had friends and family members apologize to me for not listening. I'm like, it's okay. If you don't sew, it's not going to be very interesting for you.
Yeah.
I listened to the first episode, obviously, and then I didn't listen for about 8 or 9 episodes, and I felt really guilty about it. I felt like I'm an awful partner. And then eventually Helen, like, asked me flat out if I was listening, and I, like, crumbled and told her I wasn't, and I felt really bad. So I've been listening to it since then, not just because I felt really bad, but because I want to be supportive and I do really enjoy it. I don't find that it is, like, maybe it's because I am quite close to the sewing stuff, even though I don't do it. I talk with you about it every day, so it's like, it is interesting to me, and I find it really easy to listen to. Like, I think you guys have some really great guests on, and the conversation isn't, like, so focused on sewing all the time. It's like, it's just nice to listen to, and I get to hear your voices, and it's lovely.
Do you have a favorite episode that you've heard?
I really liked the one with Jessica Nicole. That was really fun.
Sure.
I liked the one with Jen Beeman a lot as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. I like the ones that's just the two of you guys as well. It's fun to listen to you having so much fun.
Aw, that's sweet.
And that's what I do like, because, like, I don't sew, as people could probably tell by this point, that I don't do any sewing myself. So it's, like, not a subject that I would normally pick, obviously. But the fact that you guys have so much fun and do such a good job and all that it's still enjoyable to listen to, even if it's something that won't directly affect me or anything. So
thank you.
Thanks, guys. I'm glad you guys are listening.
And my other favorite episode is probably going to be this one.
Yeah.
Oh, obviously. Yeah. Obviously. This is going to be the one that our friends and family are actually going to listen to.
That's true. Okay.
Let's talk business.
Yeah, let's talk about our businesses, because we're both self-employed entrepreneurs, hustling it out. Shay, do you remember the moment when I decided that I wanted to start my own business? Or do you remember that time?
You're still at your previous job. Yeah, you're getting a bit tired of it. And yeah, I remember you having the idea. And at the beginning, you started talking about it. And I just thought, like, it sounds like it might be scary, big idea, like a lot could go wrong. But then you got more into it and figured it out more, and you convinced me, like, because there's a world I wasn't a part of, the sewing community stuff, so I didn't really know what it would take to do this or how open it was. And when you finally decided you're gonna do it and you finally left your job and stuff, that was it's pretty amazing, pretty incredible that you did that. Still amazed, not that I thought things would go wrong or anything, just like how far you've come and how much you've grown and progressed. And there was a point where I think we had, like, a big talk, and it was about scheduling and keeping track of stuff and treating it more like a full-time job. And that's when it was a clear night and day new chapter. You took it even more seriously. And I think since then, that's when you really started taking off, like, big time. And it has definitely paid off big time. But that's what really stands out, is when you hit that switch and hit full gear, serious business lady mode.
Yeah, I had a really hard time at the beginning, like, staying focused during the day, working from home, being productive. Like, I'm just by nature a super procrastinator. And when I don't have somebody holding me accountable, like, I just don't get stuff done. So there was a while there where I was, like, comfortable just not being as productive as I should have been, and it was weighing on me. It was really, that was, like, a hard time, like, the first year of business. It was cool because it was doing well already, but, like, I just always felt guilty that I wasn't working hard enough, because I wasn't really, you know.
I'm always blown away by just thinking back to when you started and the problems that you'd be worried about, complain about, and then you look at yourself now and it's, you're an entirely different person in that respect and super professional. And did that answer the question? I'm not even sure.
Yeah, I know that you, you just took them through my whole journey.
And we have a different sort of story because you just decided to quit your job and start your business like all in one time. Mm-hmm. Like you didn't have an overlap between Blackbird Fabrics and the wholesaler you were working for, right?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like probably, I imagine for Shay, like even more of a leap for him to make to imagine what that might be like for you to be running a business because there was no overlap. You know?
Yeah. And I had never done anything like it.
I can relate to what you're saying about procrastination, and eventually you just get like, you're so hard on yourself for so long feeling like you're not being productive or you're not meeting the goal that you're setting for yourself, but still every day you still don't do it until one day you finally like snap or break down or whatever. It's nice to hear that you decided to flip the switch and actually put in the effort to like get yourself to work every day and fill in the time. Like in the long run, yes, it's hard work, but it's easier than being really hard on yourself every day and like being disappointed with what you're doing with yourself every day.
It was like a switch that got flipped, and I don't even really think about that time anymore. Like it was like an on and off thing or off and on. And now I have other, you know, there are other feelings associated with my business, but it's not no longer that guilt of not fulfilling what I should be doing. It's just better. It's different.
Yeah. I think there's a transition period, and I've been feeling this in the last like month or two because after I left my job, I kind of had this vision, and we talked about it in the first episode of the show. I was like, you guys, it's going to be great. I have so much more time. I'm going to be blogging like every day, and I got all these ideas and patterns are going to be coming out left, right, and center. And like, it has been hard, and I forgot about transition periods. Mm-hmm. And when you change things in your life, you do need time to adjust. And as much as I felt like I knew what to expect, it wasn't necessarily everything that I was expecting it to be. Not that it was worse, but it was just different. And I realized like in the last couple of months, I've been a lot more productive, and I'm finally getting a rhythm going, and I'm getting in the swing of things, and I feel so much better. And I just needed that time to adjust.
Sam, do you remember? I mean, it wasn't all that long ago. So yeah. When Helen decided that she was going to do Helen's Closet full time,
there was a big lead up to it. She had been working and doing the blog in the evenings, and Helen doesn't have the same procrastination problems that we have.
Yeah.
Like Helen is like, it's like inhuman. Like she gets out of bed and starts working at like 6:30, and I come home and she's like, you're home. Like she hasn't moved in 9.5 hours.
That's not healthy either though.
No, but it's also a problem that I don't really understand. Like I can't relate, I should say, but it's probably good for someone starting their own business. Right. I don't know. I'm having a hard time remembering like the day when you decided to leave, like the plan kind of formulated alongside the blog as you got kind of more invested and more followers and like kind of picked up more interest in sewing and realized that that was what was actually making you happy as opposed to your day job.
There never seems to be like a good time to leave a job. And I have like cried in every job leaving interview I've ever had.
Yeah.
Me too.
And I always go into them being like,
I cry at work almost daily.
Oh, yeah. It's in the bathroom.
And this one was especially hard because it was my brother-in-law's company. And we had done so many amazing things together. And I had, you know, a good run there. And it was really cool to see a small startup business like that grow. And it inspired me as to what was possible in business too. So yeah, it's so hard. Like everyone I would talk to would be like, yeah, you should totally do Helen's Closet full time. Like, why are you even questioning that? It's going to be great. You're going to be amazing at it. It's obviously what you're passionate about. You should totally do that. I'd be like, okay, that sounds good, but I'm like terrified. So
yeah,
I'll just like put it off for another month.
It is so obvious how passionate you are about sewing and the community and your blog and what you're doing. I remember like for the year that I knew you before you quit your job, you would always say, like, I just want to be doing sewing all the time. I just want to sew. This is what I want to do all the time.
It's really crazy.
Right? And that's what, and you made that a reality. But I completely understand the hesitation and the fear, because it's one thing to be passionate about something. It's another thing to be able to make enough money to sustain that and make it into a business. Mm-hmm. You know, in my experience, and I'm sure Shay would agree with this statement, there have been a lot of ups and downs in a lot of ways, but also financially. And I think that goes along with starting a business. And I am not a planner, nor am I a saver. And Shay always, like, I'll have these moments where I'm like, oh my God. It happened a few times where I was like, I don't know if I can pay rent this month, you know? And like, there's so much fear and guilt in that, especially as an entrepreneur, as a woman. Like, things have always been even in our relationship, you know, and after having this business where I've had to ask for help, that's been really hard. But you've always been like, we're in this together. Like, you've never made me feel guilty, or like, it's always been really easy to ask you for help in that sense. So
I'm waiting for the payoff at the end. When you strike it rich.
I'm going to be a captain man eventually.
Get that sweet, sweet fabric money.
Yeah, you remember who got you there. Yeah. And you put up with me when I was unemployed when we started. So
that's true. Can we talk about the fact that Helen mentioned to me recently that you would love to work for her, like be like a little family business?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. I would love to work for you, especially if my duties involved like organization or cleaning. Like a maid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to it for sure. I think Sam would be great. He's so organized. He would be so good at like order fulfillment if I ever did paper patterns or had products, or he would be so good at admin stuff. And good at customer service. He writes the best emails. Like, he has such good email etiquette. Okay, Shay, does Caroline ever have mental breakdowns about her business? Emotional breakdowns, I should say.
Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes. Yeah. So how do you handle that?
Well, apparently my second calling is a therapist of some description, I guess. Because, yeah, I'm pretty good at talking it out and looking at the bright side, and if the worst ever happens, it's not going to be that bad. It got me, the cat, family.
Yeah.
But I kind of end up just going off on like a rambly train of thought that in my brain I think is helpful, but I'm not totally sure what I said because I speak for like 7 or 8 minutes straight without stopping.
And
I think what it actually is she's upset at the start, and then she's bored and looking somewhere else. So
I'm just gonna distract her.
You know, in my head, I'm like, man, that was an uplifting speech. There's probably some sort of music in the background, and then she's, I don't know, thinking about Instagram or something by the end. So whatever way you get there, as long as you get there, I'm happy to help.
No, it's true. If I talk to him about something that it's like frustrating me, or that I'm worried about, or like if I have a breakdown, he'll usually like go off on a tangent. It's not that he's making good suggestions. It's like calming to hear him talk about whatever I'm worried about. Because sometimes he does say things that are, I'm like, oh, that's a really good point or a great idea. But he's just really good at like... calming me with his words. I don't
like
know.
A hypnotist.
Yeah. Well, I can speak for a long time in a really slow,
monotone
voice, and all your problems will just drip away like wax on a candle.
Wow, I do feel really relaxed.
Yeah.
I'm really boring. That's how I fix things.
I like the, like, what's the worst case scenario here talk, though. And I give that to Sam, too, sometimes when he's stressed out about things. I'm like, look, is the worst case scenario? Like, we're doing pretty well in our lives. We have support from other family. And, like, if the worst came to the worst and, like, my business totally went belly up in, like, the span of a week or something, like, we would work it out and it would be okay. But the breakdowns, oh, they happen.
We usually, like, trade. We each have regular breakdowns.
My favorite is when we're having one at the same time and I get mad that Sam's like stealing my breakdown thunder.
That's like
my, that happens. I'll be really upset, and then Sam will be like, "You know what? I'm really upset too." And I'll be like, "No, it's my turn to be upset."
That's like my main tact for cheering her up is to make her mad. And I'm like, "No, I'm sadder than you. Make it a contest."
Is it weird to leave home in the morning and leave your significant other there and be like, "I guess they're going to work," but you're like, "They're at home," so. You don't really know what they're doing. Is it weird to like come home to somebody who's just been sitting in their pajamas all day?
I'm very jealous.
Yeah, there's definitely some jealousy there. And it's like, I know you're working because I know your habits, but like I can't help but imagine all the lounging about that I'd get to do if I were to stay at home all day. But my business wouldn't be successful because I wouldn't do anything.
That's why I'm not self-employed.
I think... for me, one of the like challenges that I have to like remind myself of is that like you're at home to work and like not do household chores and stuff. Not that I feel like you're like slacking on chores or anything, but like I do have to remind myself, like, if the dishes aren't done, it's not because you were being lazy, it's because you were working on something, right? And it's not like your responsibility to do the dishes just because you're at home, right? But I've had to like consciously remind myself of that.
And I worry about that too. If there is a mess and then you come home and I'm always like, I'm sorry that it's messy. It's like my automatic response because I know how much mess bothers you.
Like, I don't necessarily want you to clean it up because I like cleaning.
Yeah. It's true.
You guys are very different in that way.
You're a weirdo.
So you guys sound, and I mean, we know from experience that you are very supportive partners in both of our businesses, but we were wondering if you have any wisdom or advice to impart on people out there who are maybe supporting a partner in creative entrepreneurship or just entrepreneurship in general.
I have learned slowly that like if Helen has a crisis or something, or anybody, like they don't necessarily want you to try to fix their problems for you. Like the last thing Helen actually needs is me to like tell her all the things she needs to do to fix this problem, because she probably just wants to vent more than anything else, or like talk it out, as opposed to listen to me like rattle off all the lists of things I think she should be doing. Mm-hmm. So I think for anybody kind of supporting somebody else, be cognizant of that fact, like they're trying to do their best. And like, although it might seem obvious to you what like the solution is, like it's probably obvious to them too, but they're just having a hard time that day. Like they probably just need somebody to listen for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It can be so overwhelming if I like come to Sam with a problem and he's like, we start talking it through and trying to figure it out. And then there's all of these other like related issues that start coming up, and it just starts getting like so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I just end up like in a worse state than I was when we started talking. Mm-hmm. And it's all stuff we've talked about lots of times before. You know, in business, there's like a whole laundry list of things you want to do at all times and things you want to like get done and accomplish and improve. And it can spiral out of control pretty quickly.
Most important is just to be someone to vent to talk to be an ear.
You're really good at like comic relief.
Yeah.
No, he is. He makes jokes when I'm upset, or like he'll like lighten the mood, which
quite often
I
makes
find
it worse.
Yeah.
It does help for me.
Yeah, it's my number one skill and defensive mechanism is making everything
make a dad
joke
about it.
Yeah. And it's a knee-jerk reaction. I can't help it. I have to consciously think like, don't make a joke. This is serious. Even though you have a killer one-liner for this. You save it till the end. You go through the therapy listening and whatever part, and you finish it off with a
real zinger.
Yeah, real zinger. Real dad joke.
Okay. I think when in doubt, like offer a shoulder rub and like a drink. Like, can I pour you a drink and rub your shoulder?
Shake. I'm not going to put this in either.
Oh, no, the foot massages.
Shay gives me foot rubs like almost every night. I'm not delusional. I know that I'm super lucky that he does that. Like, you are an angel, honey. I love you. He gives me foot rubs every night, like, no matter how stinky my feet are, like, no matter how tired he is. And I honestly think that it's, like, one of the best parts of my day is, like, at the end of the day on the couch when I could just, like, get my foot rubbed and then fall asleep. So, like, give your partner foot rubs because...
Yeah, foot rubs go a long way.
The other thing that I have noticed about you, Sam, is that you never make it about money. Like, you'd never ask me, how much money did you make today? How many patterns did you sell today? Even at the end of the month, you're not like, how much money did you make this month or this year? Or like, ever. He never asked me about that. And it's not that, like, we've had conversations because I tell him a lot of the time how much money I'm making, because we talk about my business a lot. So maybe that's one of the reasons why you don't ask. But it's not, I don't feel like pressure in our relationship to be making X amount of dollars, or that you're overly concerned about whether or not my business is viable or like profitable, you know?
Oh man, is it?
That's all I'm concerned about. Come on, come on. Daddy needs the paycheck.
I don't know. I don't like to bring up money because I don't like talking about money. I get like super like angry and like anxious. I don't do money so well.
It's true.
I'm glad you viewed that as supportive.
It's just not like a pressure that I need, because I'm looking at my numbers every day. So
yeah.
You don't need to be. And it's nice that you aren't concerned about it.
From your perspectives, like, has watching us build and grow our businesses changed the way you think about your own work and your own careers?
I mean, it's kind of made me consider the possibility of ever starting my own business. And I've always thought that I never, ever, ever could.
What about seeing me have my own business makes you want to do that?
Just being in control of your own stuff for the most part, and any bad or good decisions made are your own. Like, I never want to be the boss of other people. I've learned that pretty quickly. I don't like managing or leading other people. But also, like a lot of people, you don't really like getting told what to do when you think someone above you is making bad decisions or wasting your time and their time and money. And that feeling like you could do it better, or you just don't want to be in a situation where that's the case. And yeah, no, it's given me a totally different perspective on starting a business and what it takes.
Yes, definitely. I have a pretty good job, and they're like very supportive employer and everything. And I still fantasize about working for myself, and like for many of the same reasons that Shade said. I always assumed that Helen was going to be the successful one that took care of me. So still going strong on that course.
He wants to be a stay-at-home dad. But we've had lots of conversations about this, because you have also had like some ideas or aspirations to maybe start a business. And like, was that something you ever considered previous to me pursuing my blog and my business?
Not really, no. So like, that has definitely come more to the forefront. Like, I think I'm maybe at a place where you were several years ago, where like, I have this interest and I'd like to start my own business, but I don't feel like I have the time to do it. Like, I have a really stressful job that is very time consuming, and I don't see where it would fit. But like, you did the side hustle and like showed that it is possible. So I think that's pretty encouraging. So it's definitely made me think about it a lot more.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because if you're not exposed to entrepreneurs, like my parents weren't entrepreneurs for the most part in their lives, so it wasn't something that I had a lot of exposure to, and not something that I ever considered doing when I was in school. I never thought I want to run my own business. I wasn't aiming for that, you know, it just sort of happened.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, but yeah, it just sort of happened. I think we want to finish up with you guys telling us a least favorite part, or a like low moment in our creative entrepreneur journey together, and then a high moment.
What comes to mind for like the low to start it off with, the moment when you switched with your business. I think right before that was probably the low point, where your self-motivation and confidence was really low, and the guilt was getting to you and everything. And after that, when you started turning things around, I think that's when you had one of your best months ever. And then it just went on like this streak. I think when that started happening would be the high point. Well, and then it comes to mind too, it's not directly related to Blackbird, but starting this, the podcast, I think was a high point. Like, it was awesome to see like how incredibly excited you were over it.
When I told Shay, like, I think I want to start a podcast with Helen, I still remember you were like, okay, I get that you want to start this podcast, but are you sure that you want to take on a big project like this? Like, this is a lot of work. Are you sure that you're ready for this, that you have the time for this? Because at that point, I hadn't hired my first employee, and I was always complaining about how I didn't have enough time. And I still remember this, like, we were in the kitchen and you were like, are you sure you want to do this? And I was like, no, but you don't understand. Like, I can't stop thinking about this. And I know that this is the right thing to do. I know that I need to do this.
I think it was the right choice.
What are you, Sam?
Highs and lows.
Yeah, I think the low points are like whenever Helen is doubting herself. Like the self-doubt stuff is really painful for me because like you've done so well and you put in so much effort and like it really like sucks to hear you being so down on yourself. And I understand because you're human just like everybody else, but like that's really hard to listen to and like be supportive and not just like yell at you being like, stop being crazy. Like look around you, look at what you've done. And then the high points, I think like one of the big ones was when you like released your first pattern, like in that being really successful and people being really receptive and like a great feedback from the community. And then like even more so with the Blackwood cardigan and like people like teaching the pattern in classes and stuff has been like really cool to like see like the things you're doing out in the community. It feels like I know a celebrity.
A celebrity, actually. A
celebrity. Yeah. And then, yeah, like Shay said, the podcast has been like huge. Like seeing how much is taken off so quickly has been like incredible. And like you're so engaged and like so excited about it. And it's, I don't know, it's just really cool because like you and I are both like podcast fans beforehand and it's been really crazy to see you get into it and you're like talking to people that I think are like podcast royalty and stuff, which is so nuts.
Yeah, because I'm all about reaching out to people now. Like I have like no fear anymore when it comes to talking to anybody. Like I would just reach out to somebody on Instagram or Twitter or wherever and be like, hey, can I talk to you?
Yeah, you're like fearless. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know what this person does for this or like, what are they going to think? And Helen's like, well, did you email them?
And I'm like, people no, generally, I don't email everybody. They're so receptive though.
Well, honestly, like you guys are super supportive. I don't know where either of us would be without you.
There wouldn't be any photos on my blog. So. Yeah.
It's been really fun to get your perspective here on the podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time. Any final thoughts?
Sewing is super cool and keep it up, folks out there. Reach for the stars.
Sew for the stars.
Never doubt yourself. And Caroline is amazing.
Yeah, Helen rocks.
Oh my God.
I wish you could see her face.
It's almost as red as her top.
That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. Helen, if the listeners want to get in touch with you directly, how can they do that?
You can reach me on Instagram at Helen's_closet and check out my blog at helenscloset.ca.
And you can follow me on Instagram at Blackbird Fabrics or visit my shop, blackbirdfabrics.com.
We're recording in cold Vancouver, Canada. You can find show notes for this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
Love to Sew wants to hear from you. If you have questions, comments, or ideas, leave a voicemail. Call 1-844-SEW-WHAT. That's 1-844-739-9428. Or email at hello@lovetosewpodcast.com.
And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. It will help other sewists discover us. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search Love to Sew.
Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Oh, yeah. We wanted to ask you guys, can you name some of our favorite pattern designers?
Heather.
Heather who?
Heather.
No, isn't that the name that you guys reference like every show?
Yeah. Kelly.
Ooh, he knows Kelly.
Grain Line.
Ooh,
good so one. Then. Like
Closet Case Files.
Closet Case Patterns.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Come on. Yeah. Deer and Doe.
Ooh, good pull. One.
Sheep and Pig.
Nice try, Shay.
Oh, there's a chance.
What's Kelly's company? She designed your Hudson pants.
Pass.
The true bias.
True bias.
We're looking for true bias.
Of course, of course.
Colette.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
okay,
one.
That's the one that I was picturing in my head, but it's just the name is a blur.
Named.
What?
Oh. Named.
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 It's a company name.
Oh, okay.